You know, Adam sinned, but Eve was deceived. There's a difference between those two things. Sinning, well, the Bible says to know to do something and not do it is sin. So to know to do something and not do it is sin. You need to have understanding to go against that understanding to make it sin. But Eve was deceived. She didn't have all the pieces in place. She didn't have the right information. Even Satan said to her, you know, if you eat of the tree, and she said, we're not even to touch it. Well, God didn't say that. He said, don't eat of it. And Satan knew that she didn't have all the information. So she was deceived. So being deceived seems to stem from not having everything correct, not having all the information. And because of Adam's sin, sin entered into the world because of one man's sin, not because of Eve and Adam or Adam and Eve, but because of Adam. And Eve was swept along with Adam's sin. Sin didn't enter into the world because of Eve's deception. It entered into the world because of Adam's sin, because of his willfulness to go against God's directive. Don't eat of the tree. He didn't say anything about touching it. But Satan knew that Eve didn't have all the information, so he exploited that situation, and he deceived Eve because she didn't have all the information. So the Bible says in the last days, many shall be deceived. Why? Because they don't have all the information. The Bible says in Matthew 24:24, it says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and perform great signs and wonders, so that to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So it'd be real touch and go. If you don't know your God, if you don't know how he operates, if you don't understand the principles of God, if you don't understand the principles of the kingdom of heaven and how things operate, you might get deceived. So you need to have your eyes open. So what are you to do? Read the Bible 40 times over and mark everything in the Bible so that you don't get deceived? Well, the quickest way and the most efficient way, because not everybody has the opportunity to read the Bible 40 times, or the time, or the ability, or the opportunity. So God made it very simple. He gave everybody his Spirit. It's the Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. And he leads everybody into all truth. And he is the great leveler. He actually helps you from being deceived. He stops you. He causes your eyes to open so that you see around you and you know the issues at hand and you're able to walk in righteousness. The Spirit establishes righteousness, right practices inside you. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness. First pillar, righteousness, getting things right, doing things the right way, according to God's standard. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's all in the Holy Spirit. So how do you actually get that righteousness inside you? How do you stop yourself from being deceived? Well, the Bible says that if you pray in tongues, the mysteries of God will be opened up to you. If you pray in tongues, you'll be building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. So you keep yourself in the love of God by praying in the Holy Spirit. So if you can't read, or you don't have a Bible, or you have no access to any of that, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't read your Bible. It's important. If you've got a Bible, it's a resource, use it. But the great leveler is the Holy Spirit. He will bring you into all righteousness. He will stop you from being deceived. He will teach you to be led by him. Because he has been sent by the Father and the Son to teach you the revelation of the Father and the Son. because the Father gave the revelation of himself to Jesus, and Jesus gave the revelation that he received from the Father to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is inside of us. So we have encapsulated or inside us a package of the revelation of the Father, and Jesus is giving us the revelation through the Holy Spirit. And there is no deception in that. We won't be deceived. There'll be many people who will be deceived in the last days. There's tons of scriptures in the Bible about being deceived. You know, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." So, you know, people who are only interested in hearing the things that they want to hear are going to be deceived. They need to be in a place where it doesn't matter what they hear of God, they're going to believe it. Doesn't matter what they hear of God, they're going to follow it. They're not going to have a second or third opinion. They're not going to have a fallback position. They're not going to have a plan B. I don't have a plan B. My plan A is follow God. Even if he tells me and I see in the Bible stuff that is contrary to my personal beliefs, likes or dislikes, to my personal ambition, to my personal direction in life, to my personal affiliations, to everything, God gets the first say and the only say. And when he leads me, I follow him. I don't look for a second position or a third position. Now, when Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times. He said, "Father, if this cup can pass by me, I would really love this." And he prayed earnestly. He prayed three times. But he said, "Not my will, but your will, Father." So he said to the Father, if the cup could pass by him, he would be very happy. But it had to be his will. And the Father didn't respond to him in a second or a third thing. He didn't say, "Well, we got a plan B or a plan C." He said, "No, we're going through with plan A." So Jesus said, "I'm in. Because I don't have a plan B or a plan C." And angels turned up and ministered to him. They encouraged him. They comforted him. Why? Because he was still with plan A. Jesus never had a plan B or a C. He only did what he heard and saw his Father do. He didn't do anything of his own effort. He didn't say anything of his own effort. He didn't have his own opinion. He didn't even take any glory. When people said, "Oh, you're a great God, you're a great man," he said, "There's no one good but my Father in heaven." He didn't even share that. He separated himself and all his ideas and all his wants and all his dislikes and everything else from himself, and he went after the Father. He didn't have a plan B or a C. A lot of us have plan Bs and Cs and Ds and Es and E right to Z. But the further we go down the line, the further we get away from God's perfect will. Now, in God's perfect will is blessing. If you can stay in God's perfect will, everything flows. Like a river that's straight, it just flows. There's no impedance. There's no bends to slow it down. It just flows. And there's nothing to stop the blessing in your life because your life is straight. There's nothing stopping it. There's nothing hindering it. There's no log jams. There's no rocks. There's no dams. There's nothing to stop the flow. So if you just walk in plan A and you're willing to hear God and rest in God and wait on God, he'll always give you the plan A. That's the key to my success. Don and I don't have plan B or C. We have plan A. And if we don't know the plan at that particular moment, we wait on God. We rest and we wait on God. And we wait on God and we wait on God. and we wait on God until we get plan A. We don't move with a plan B or C. We only wait for plan A. And that is the perfect will of God. There's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So in the good and acceptable, well, sometimes we pray for things that are not exactly perfectly what God wants for our life. But God allows it because there is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We can't always get it right, not all of us. We can try to. But sometimes we mix our own ideas. Sometimes we mix our own thoughts, our own likes and dislikes. Sometimes we mix our own agendas. I want to do this, Lord. This is what I would love to do. I would like this job, Lord. Lord, I'd love to go to this country and set up shop in this country. Lord, I'd like to have this life. And it's not sometimes not always God's perfect will. So we pray earnestly about it and God will give it to us. But there'll be stones inside that life. There'll be maybe problems inside that life, inside that place, that way, that position you want, that thing you want. There'll be stones in it. It won't always be perfect. There'll be lumps in it. And if you're willing to pray the lumps out, then okay. But I'm really of the idea that I want to receive from God that has no lumps, that has perfectness in it, where it has perfection in it, and everything flows perfectly, and the blessing is unhindered in any way whatsoever. No hindrance. So that's my strategy. So I'm willing to abandon my own ideas. I'm willing to abandon my own concepts and value systems, my own directions, my own personal likes and dislikes, to wait on God's perfect will. Because in that is maximum blessing. So this is the formula that I walk in. I wait on God. I wait on God. I clear my mind and I wait on God. I listen and I monitor the spirit inside me for God's direction. And I wait on God. And I make sure that what I hear from God is correct. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses. So I let God repeat himself so that I can understand, yes, this is not just a pizza dream or a pizza idea or an idea that's mingled with my own likes and dislikes. I wait on God until I know this is from God. This is what God wants me to do. And then I do it. It's better, it's more efficient, it's more holy, it's more righteous to wait on God and get it right than just grab anything and just be spontaneous. Now, when I'm walking down the street and I see someone, the Lord says, that one, I don't wait on him over and over again because I'm learning to hear God's voice very clearly. And he says to me, that one, I go up to them and I say, hi, how you going? My name's Tom. The Lord's told me to speak to you, and they start crying, or they look as if, wow, you know, as if this is what I've been waiting for. Well, there, just in that action of their response, is the witness. It is, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and they get healed, or they get filled with the Holy Spirit, or the atmosphere changes, and their whole life changes. Or I put my hand on them, and their eyes open up. That's another witness, right? If I go up to somebody and say, oh, the Lord told me to speak to you, and they go, huh? What are you talking about? Well, there's nothing in that. And I say, can I pray for you? No, don't touch me. There's nothing in that. So I've missed it. But, you know, I'm walking in a place where I hear from God, I follow my nose, and everything flows. I didn't mean to rhyme, but that's the way it is. Must be a poet, and I don't know it. But, you know, all I do is just wait on God, and the distance between the waiting in some things takes a while, and some is very short. It depends on what you're doing with God and how frequent you are used in a certain situation where it is easy. But you know, when I come into new ground or I'm coming down a new street that I don't quite understand, I'm moving into a place in the kingdom of God that I'm not quite familiar with, I wait on God. And I make sure that I know what's happening before I do it. Now, you know, when it comes to witnessing to people or, you know, speaking to people on the street or in parks or anywhere, I don't have to wait on God a lot. Because I'm hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times has happened, and I'm getting pretty familiar with the functionality of that. So, you know, it's all about waiting on God and getting confirmation and knowing this is what God wants you to do. You know, I'm walking down the street. I started talking to a homeless guy, and I said to him, you know, his girlfriend was across the street trying to get some money from some food bank thing or something, some place where they could find a place to stay. And I prayed for him, and he said, "Wow, I feel different, and you know, I think this is, you know, this is destiny." I said, "Yes, this is God," and he's like, he's excited. He feels that God is rescuing him in some way. Anyway, I said, "I gotta go now," so I walked off. And the Lord said to me, "You need to go back and give him some money." And I went, "Oh, okay." Well, you know, when I was standing next to him talking to him, a thought coming to me about giving him money. But I thought, I don't want to just be caught up in my humanity. I don't want to, just be, you know, like a soup kitchen. And I don't want to just be, you know, just doing nice things for nice people because that's nice, whatever. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. So I didn't listen to that. But as I walked away, the Lord said, no, you didn't hear me properly. You need to go back and give him some money. So I turned around and I walked back to him and I said, "Listen, the Lord told me to give you this." I didn't say, "You know, I feel sorry for you. I'm going to give you this." There's no benefit in that. I'm giving it to him if I say, "Look, I'm giving this to you because I really want you to be happy. I want you to have a better life. I want this to help you out." Well, my reward is a slap on the back by him saying, "Oh, you're a nice guy." But I want the reward from God. I don't want his reward. So I said, "God told me to give you this." So I gave God the glory. God was the one who initiated this. God's the one that sent me to give you this. And by doing that, he knew that God was giving it to him, and his heart could open up and God could bless him. So I sowed a seed into his life, and God was going to bless me 100-fold because I was obedient to him. And God's going to bless him because he's going to know that God cares about him, not some guy, but God actually cares about him enough to tell some guy to give him some money. There's a blessing in that. God can move on his life. That guy can be looking for the leading of God, even though he doesn't even have the Holy Spirit. He can understand the fundamental things. And God can lead him into salvation, into a situation where someone will speak to him. I told him about baptism and being filled with the Holy Spirit and all of that. You know, but, you know, sometimes the Lord just tells me to do one thing. Sometimes he tells me to do many things. I pray for somebody, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, they get healed, I have to go and baptize them, all these things. But I don't step out of what God asked me to do. So I don't walk in my own deception. I don't walk having itching ears, only listening to those who I like. My plan is plan A and no plan B or C. I wait on God and I hear him. When I hear him, I react. I do. And I do it with faith because all the rest of the kingdom of God flows in behind it. There is action. So I start to hear from God. I speak to a person. They respond positively. The presence of God turns up. People get filled with the Holy Spirit. People get healed. Words of knowledge start to happen. And this is how I operate in the kingdom of God. So I wait on God. And sometimes I have to wait for days. And sometimes I wait for seconds, depending on what I'm doing and how new this thing that God is doing with me, that will become very common in my life. And then the time I have to wait will be shorter, because God will be able to get through to me, because I will be partnering with him, and there is many, many things that he wants me to do. And I just have to learn each thing. I have to operate in each thing with confidence. But I use the same method all the time. I hear from God. If I need a witness, and another 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 witness, then so be it. But I wait until I hear from God and I know that it's God. Sometimes I don't even need two witnesses. I just need one. I just hear God and I go and do it, because I can feel him all over me all the time. And it's just the way it is. So it's different to what I used to do years ago. It was a hit and miss thing. I wasn't quite sure. Okay, I'll explain it a little bit better. God used me in 7 things really good. Now he uses me in 50 things that are really good. So he used me in 7 things that worked really well with me, but now he works in 50 things. So he's expanded my ministry. So my ministry was 7 things, and the predominant thing was getting people baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Healing and anything else besides that wasn't really that. It was encouraging people and being a good testimony to them, having the answers for their life. Whether they acted on it or not is a different thing, but praying for people and getting filled with the Holy Spirit was the predominant thing I had. That was the major thrust of my ministry. Going out on the street and preaching the gospel to people and seeing them filled with the Holy Spirit. But now it's many, many things. Now it's speaking in tongues, people getting filled with the Holy Spirit, people getting baptized, people getting healed, people getting set free, people having their lives totally changed, people having a new direction, people being filled with knowledge and understanding from God, all of these things, people getting on fire, people getting rid of all of the trash and rubbish and lies and deception in their life and walking in clarity. All of this stuff is the stuff God's using me to walk in. All because I waited on God. I prayed. And then the Lord responded to that and he expanded my ministry. I prayed and he started renovating in my life places that could be used, and when they were cleaned up, he was able to furnish me with greater ministry, more diverse ministry, because I waited on God and I wasn't deceived in following a wrong track, going down the wrong road, the wrong path, and having to back up and start again, back up and start again. People are doing it all their life, backing up, starting again. Me, I stay in one place, I hear from God, and I make a step, and that step is solid. I wait, I hear from God, and that step is solid. And I don't have to do backing up. I can't remember the last time I had to back up, because now it's becoming an art form with me. Hearing from God, waiting on God, hearing from him, and only doing plan A. That's how it works. And trusting in him that he is with me, and he never, never, never lets me down. If I wait on him and I learn to walk in his perfect will, he always turns up with all the stuff, always. And we get the job done. We work together. That is my best plan of action. Wait on God, make sure I can hear him, and then do it. And then everything breaks loose and everything is blessed. And it's an amazing situation to be in. I don't want to walk in plan B or C or D. I try to get other saints to stop walking in plan B, C, D, and F and whatever, and get them to walk in his perfect will. Now, some people will never, ever fully walk in plan A. They'll walk in plan A, B, and C. So God has furnished man with a plan B and C. He'll still bless them, but they won't be the best thing for them. He'll still bless them in plan B and C, but that won't be his perfect will, which is absolute perfect flow. So I try to get them into plan A and try to keep them in plan A, and if they bounce back between A and B, that's between them and God. But I give them the formula to walk in, and it's up to them to be faithful to the leading of the Lord. And entering into his rest is one of the key things. Not being caught up with this world, its politics, nationalism, anything that will divert your attention off of God and get you onto something else will take away the rest. And in that perfect rest, you'll hear him. You'll hear him and you'll be able to walk in plan A continually. That is the victory in Jesus. So we'll leave it there.